What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations, or watching Cogitations, as the case may be. I'm coming to you live from my Mevo camera. I'm going to get into where I can look at your comments. Hopefully, this podcast finds you well this evening. Again, this is Tony Brewer with Cogitations. Cogitations is a podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we talk about them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Well, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. And today we're going to talk about a very divisive topic. I shared a meme in the We Talk Truth podcast, or in the We Talk Truth Facebook group, that brought up some nostalgic memories, if you will. Let me go down here and find it. Yeah. When a woman veils her body in modesty, she is not hiding herself from men. She is revealing her dignity to them. And I thought, man, what a good meme to build a podcast off the back of. And it's a very beautiful woman in the picture. And she is dressed modestly in a nice flowing skirt. She's got a nice blouse on. She's beautiful, long hair. She's got a pair of shoes on that they're heeled a little bit. Anyway, here's what I said about this meme. Of all the topics one can cover from Scripture, this one will make you the most enemies if you teach it correctly. And I'm going to tell you, I have found that out from experience. Then this is as good as it's going to be. If it doesn't get any better, we're just going to live with it like this. Good to see everybody. Good evening. Katie Smith, Connie Barden, Mina Bareilles, I believe is how you pronounce your name. And anyway, modesty. It's like if you want to get people on your back and you want to make people mad, it used to be have a conversation about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Preach about the exclusivity of the Lord's church or something like that. But now it seems like modesty is what gets you in trouble so much. And I've gotten to where I try actually to steer clear of the topic of modesty, and I just talk about nakedness. You know, God's definition of nakedness can literally be measured in inches. And this is on the fly. Listen to this. I'm going to start reading in Exodus 28, starting in verse 39. This is where God gives us a definition of nakedness. All right. "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, and thou shalt make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest office." So these are the priestly garments that priests of the Almighty God are supposed to wear. And we're going to see very quickly, they are going to cover their nakedness. It is important for God, evidently, that our nakedness is covered. This is not a difficult concept, and it gets people angry. Let's keep going. "And thou shalt make them linen breeches," verse 42 of Exodus 28. Why do I make them linen breeches? "To cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach." Y'all, that's it. From the loins to the thighs, that means these short shorts, bikini bottoms, all of this stuff. God considers it naked, period. And incidentally, I'm going to have to do a little bit of searching here. Yeah, Isaiah 47. Let me go into my trusty, rusty e-sword here. And I think it's Isaiah 47, 2 or 3, or something like that. First off, I got to find my e-sword. I accidentally X'd out of it before I started. Oh, there it is. If y'all want a really good Bible software for cheap, e-sword is the way to go. All right. So we're going to go to Isaiah. What did I say? 47? If it ain't 47, it's missed a good chance. All right. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks and make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. We can infer from this that nakedness is a shame, and an uncovered thigh is nakedness, and an uncovered thigh is shame. Now, what do you see whenever? What do you see in the summertime walking around? All these girls wearing these short shorts. I remember at Camp Dakota, it was one of the most difficult things to have the girls dress modestly. And all of the girls used the excuse given to them by their mother, well, you just can't find shorts that cover the knees. You know what? You make them if you can't. But we come up with a solution. What we did, the elders of the congregation that dealt with the camp, they got a budget together and they went and they bought a bunch of black boys basketball shorts of various sizes. And when these girls got to camp and all they had was booty shorts or short shorts, the girls were told you need to change your shorts into something that covers down to the knee. And the girl said, well, we don't have any. And then we were able to say, well, that's great. That's fine. We got you covered, literally. And we would issue them these boys basketball shorts. Folks, it worked. I mean, that's the easiest thing. That's it, Connie. Buy long pants and cut them off. I like what my daughter says. My daughter says, I would rather be a little uncomfortable and hot for a moment here on earth than to be uncomfortable and hot for an eternity. If Christ was ashamed to be naked on the cross, then why are we not when it comes to dress today? Yeah, I mean, it was a shame for Jonathan. I mean, it was a shame, Jonathan, for Christ to be naked on the cross. We ought to work to keep ourselves modest and shamefaced before God. And listen, this topic typically skews heavily towards women. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because quite frankly, women are objectified sexually, and it's because of biology. Men are turned on by what they see. Women are turned on by what they feel and what they hear. That's why the book 50 Shades of Grey is pornography, and it doesn't have to have any pictures. That's why the Harlequin romance novels are such a big thing. They don't have to have any pictures. That's pornography for women. Pornography, it's pornography without pictures. It's pornography for biological beings that are not turned on by what they see. All right. Meany Barillas says, I really appreciate your program and topic today. May God continue to bless you. Thank you so much, Meany. Jonathan says, when I think about modesty, I think about how Christ Jesus was on the cross. He was stripped of his clothing. Yeah, and they did that to dehumanize him. I read your comments backwards there, Jonathan. I see what you meant now. Could the phrase girded himself in John 13 reference Jesus covering his nakedness while he was washing the disciples' feet? I don't think so. Girded just means, so whenever, and you can Google this, Kate, it's a good question. So Google the garb of the first century in the area of Palestine. And they had these long flowing outer garments. But if you had to get in a fight, if you had to do some work, like if you were going to be squatting down and raising up, washing somebody's feet, you would take that deal and you would gird it about your waist, but you would still be covered. You still wouldn't expose your nakedness. You could still gird up your loins, as it were, which was an idiom for get ready to work. Get ready, gird your loins, get ready. It's kind of like in the movie True Grit, whenever Rooster Cogburn charges the bandits, the bad guys, and I'm not going to say the expletive, but he says, "You fill your hands." Well, gird up your loins, like you get ready, because I'm coming. God asks Job, or God tells Job at the end of the book of Job, whenever Job finally gets his audience with God, Job puts his hand over his mouth, and God says, "You gird up your loins and be a man, because I've got some questions for you." And then we get all of those, good questions that God asks. So I don't think girded himself is a reference to him covering his nakedness. I think girding himself there was he just got ready to do the work. So good question, Katie. Thank you. Connie Barden says, "Smart girl talking about my wife." Thank you, Diana Harden. Thank you. Yeah, and men can dress immodestly too. Jonathan, I imagine you wrote that whenever I was talking about this topic typically skews much heavier towards women. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you'll go all the way back to Adam and Eve, whenever they realized they were naked, they covered themselves up with fig leaves. But then it says God made them coats, or depending on which translation, coats is a good translation. And we know what was covered. God covered their nakedness. Well, go to Exodus 28 from where I just read, and we see that Aaron and his sons had the priestly garments, the coats, that covered them to their waist, and they had an undergarment that covered their loins, and then they were given breeches to cover their nakedness from their loins to their knees. So you need a shirt on with sleeves. Now, how long are the sleeves? That is debatable. Does it have to be sleeves down to the elbow? Does it have to be sleeves down to the elbow? Does it have to be sleeves down to the wrist? Hope it doesn't have to be sleeves down to the wrist, because I'm not wearing any. Or does it just have to be sleeves to come over the shoulder? I don't know. That's open to a matter of judgment, but I tell you what it's not a tank top. If you wear a tank top, you're not modest in God's eyes. That's just all there is to it, because we see, or you're not modest, you're not covered in God's eyes. You would be considered naked. Like, that's just easy. Now, people always say, "Well, what about all the old women at church that don't wear sleeves on their blouses?" Well, then maybe we need to educate them. I mean, just because something's not widely accepted doesn't mean it's wrong. So maybe we have the difficult conversations, and maybe we do the education. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we've had a bunch of panty waist preachers that's been too scared to say anything. I don't know. All right. That's it, Connie. It starts at home when the children are young. Connie said, "I did not know that until you told me in one of your podcasts that Christ was completely naked. That hit me hard." And it ought to. Let me tell you, Connie. Yeah, they had him up there naked as the day he was born. They took all of his clothes off. Could you imagine? I just couldn't imagine it. Anyway, Mina, thank you very much. Logical approach to the term girded. This is something that I was never taught when I was younger and in church. Yeah, and so it's a catch-22, right? Connie, the reason that you weren't taught it at church is because people had a little bit of sanity. Quite frankly, it's not really anything that needed to be taught, because during the age in which you were a little girl, and you're older than me, I'm 44. I'll be 45 next year. During the age in which I was a little boy, this didn't need to be taught at church, because people just kind of knew intuitively you covered up. You weren't naked. That's so simple. I remember putting a post on in the We Talk Truth group about, and it was a joke. It was actually my stumbled attempt at humor. I just made a statement of pure fact, and I got so much hate and vitriol, and I had to ban several people from the group because of their hatred and vitriol. I had been sick, and I had to go to the doctor, and my wife and I saw a woman come into the doctor's office. We know what this woman looks like naked as a jaybird without pants because she was wearing yoga pants as pants. Right? She was wearing yoga pants. Actually, not yoga pants. She was wearing leggings. Excuse me. There is a difference. Not much of a difference, but leggings are typically thinner than yoga pants. She was wearing leggings. She was wearing leggings that are designed to be worn under a skirt. And I got home, and or actually in the doctor's office on my phone, and I just typed a blurb. I said, folks, leggings are not pants. I'm just saying. And you would have thought that I impugned the genealogy of all of these people, because they responded with hate and vitriol, and most of them were women. Got me? Most of them were women. Listen, you can't be modest wearing leggings as pants. It's not going to work. You can't do it. It's not shamefacedness, and it's not sober-minded. All you got to do is think just a little that leggings are like the same as going naked. It's just an extra little layer of skin that happens to be made out of cotton or polyester. Yeah, Vicky, the problem with the girls at camp is the parents. We would never send our girls to camp with immodest clothing, but you know from this what these girls are being taught at home. Absolutely. And yeah, Jonathan says, here's a question. Should our dress be considered when we come before God in worship? Now, I know this question can open a can of worms, so to speak. I'm not saying that we should bind shirt, ties, dress pants, etc., but should we consider what we wear to worship on Sunday? This is something I've been pondering for some time. Yeah, Jonathan, I'm going to tell you, I absolutely buck the tradition of wearing a coat and tie to worship service. We cannot bind that at all. But what we can bind is your dress needs to be modest and shamefaced with sobriety. You got to be sober-minded. That's literally sanity. You can't be insane with your dress. And I haven't gone to any scriptures except the Old Testament. We're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to see the importance of adorning ourselves in modesty and shamefacedness, quite frankly, especially for the women, because it's just not that much of a problem for the men. I just hate to say it. It's just not. I saw a woman in Walmart with leggings, and her shirt was not near long enough to cover her hips and thighs. Was not pretty. That's it. And, you didn't have to use your imagination to know what she looked like naked. Now, let's go to the New Testament scriptures, and let's see something here. First off, the First Timothy, man. First Timothy is so just explicit. Now, verse 9. Cool beans, Jonathan. Thank you. Yeah, he said, just a personal thought of mine. I just wanted your thoughts. Thank you and appreciate your thought. We appreciate you, Jonathan. All right. In like manner, this is verse 9 of chapter 2 of First Timothy. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Modest apparel is not wearing too much. So if you're modest, you're not going to be over the top. You're not going to draw undue attention to yourself with your clothes. And shamefacedness is you're going to wear the adequate amount. In other words, modesty deals with not wearing too much. Shamefacedness deals with not wearing enough. A woman who has no shame, she might go to the beach in a two-piece bikini. All right. A woman with no shame might hear a door knocker, and she might come and answer the door in her underwear. All right. She has no shame. She's not shame-faced. Okay. There's nothing wrong with shame, folks. We ought to be a little bit shameful. We ought to understand that there's things about us that we don't let the world see, and our naked bodies is one of them. And I'm just going to be blunt here. It doesn't matter how much God has blessed you with a body that looks good with no clothes on. That's only for you and one other person on the face of the planet. That's it. All right. Yeah, Katie Smith says, I have a couple of pairs of yoga-style pants that I like to go walk in, but I don't even like to wear them in my own house with only me and my mom to see them because they're too tight. So I definitely don't wear them outside the house. Absolutely. And incidentally, on the leggings and the yoga pants, there's nothing wrong with wearing yoga pants and leggings. A really cute outfit that women wear, and in fact is, my daughter wears it. She wears yoga pants, like Lululemons or Lululeggings or whatever. Anyway, she wears yoga pants, but she wears a very long skirt. A very long shirt. And she might bind it up at the waist a little bit or something. Anyway, it's modest. That's all I'm saying. It's modest. I'm not saying go burn your yoga pants or burn your leggings or anything like that. They have a place. And quite frankly, I suppose, if you're in a yoga studio and it's a same-sex yoga studio, there's probably not anything wrong with it. I mean, I go to the gym and it's not a co-ed gym. It's a man on one side dressing room, females on the other, and I change my clothes and people see me, stuff like that. You know, you go to the shower with a towel draped around you or something like that. There's not an issue with that. It's really whenever there's an issue of like shamefacedness or I've lost my mind here. Concupiscence is what I was trying to come up with. I'm so sorry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. When there's an issue of concupiscence, you know, we've got to be careful. And you know what? A conversation that I'm willing to have is, how do you deal with modesty and stuff like that in like a gym or something, like in the dressing room in a gym? That's something to consider if you're a Christian. You may develop a scruple against that. I don't have any problem if it's like whenever we were in high school in the football field house getting ready for the game or something like that. In the showers after practice, there were 10 or 15 of us guys showering together. I mean, you know, that doesn't tick the boxes of modesty and shame-faced. But again, if I'm shown something from Scripture where it does, you better believe I'm going to speak out against it. But I don't think that's an issue. In other words, there were bathhouses and stuff like that in the day that Christians would have been using and stuff like that, and it just never was brought up in Scripture. But the idea of going out into a public place, as Connie Barden says, in mixed company, well, modesty and shamefacedness and with sobriety is mentioned, and the nakedness being exposed is mentioned. So something to consider. Anyway, check this out. Yeah, the sports field is not modest anymore, especially the uniforms and the uniforms of the cheerleaders. You got that right, Connie. Yeah, I got to where I couldn't go to a ball game, because, like, man, it made me feel like a pervert going to a high school ball game because of the way the cheerleaders shake their booties and flip their skirts and do all this, that, and the other. And, like, man, I just bothers me. Anyway, And the problem is as a 44-year-old man, if you say anything, you're the pervert. Like, how dare you think sexual thoughts looking at those 17-year-old girls that are wearing short shorts with flesh-colored leggings and they're gyrating and grinding on each other and showing their butts and all that. I'm like, well, just tell me what you're expecting me to think whenever those two girls are acting out sex acts on one another. Yeah, I couldn't deal with it. I don't care if you think I'm a pervert or not. I'm not a pervert. I just can't look at that. Job, in the long ago, said he made a covenant with his eyes. Why should he defile himself with a maiden? He wasn't even going to look at him. Well, I ain't going to look at him either, as much as I can help it. All right. That's about all I got to say about that. All right. In like manner, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. In other words, we're not going to wear too much, and we're not going to wear too little. We're not going to go naked, and we're not going to draw undue attention to ourselves by what we wear. And then we are going to be sane about it. All right? That's and sobriety. We have to be sane with what we wear. Like, think about it. Just think about it a little bit. You know, I've heard that if you raise your hands and touch your toes, and something else, and make sure nothing shows. Boy, I did a good job on that rhyme. Sean Rogers, I'm with you. I wish I knew what fruit it was that Adam and Eve ate to realize they were naked, because we need to pass it around again. Absolutely. Absolutely. So here, look how important it is. Paul is telling these women, you adorn yourself with modesty and shamefacedness and sobriety, sober-mindedness. Don't get so wrapped up in how you look. Did you know, as a 20-year-old, no matter how gorgeous you are, you're not going to look like that when you're 40. And as gorgeous as you are when you're 40, you're not going to look like that when you're 60. And as gorgeous as you are when you're 60, you're not going to look like that when you're 80. It's just not going to happen. So don't make that be your priority. Looks are fleeting. But modesty, shamefacedness, a sober mind, that is forever. That will follow you into eternity. That is what we need. So, women are to adorn themselves with good works. So, make sure that your apparel, make sure you're not drawing undue attention to yourself by the way you dress, as far as being flashy and gaudy and stuff like that. Make sure you're wearing the proper amount of clothing. In other words, make sure you're not naked. Modesty, shamefacedness. Make sure you're sober-minded about it. And then make good works your priority. Jonathan in the Post talked about, you know, when we go to church on Sunday morning, should we consider what we wear? The answer is an unequivocal yes. Make sure you're modest, shamefaced, and be sober-minded about it. And once you do that, you don't have to think about it anymore, and you can focus on the good works. And again, Paul is talking to women. I'm talking to men and women, period. I know I've seen men that are not modest because they focus so much on their outward appearance. They want that three-piece suit with that nice, crisp bow tie, all that good stuff. They want that fresh fit look, man. They want to be all GQ. Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's not going to last very long. Focus on the good works. I remember a line from a movie says, I've seen a whole lot of men buried in $50 Stetsons carrying a pair of $5 heels. Guns. Talking about going heeled. Basically, these guys, the point of the matter was these guys, they wanted to dress up and look like a cowboy and a gunfighter, but they spent their money on the hat, the coat, the boots, and didn't spend their money on their guns. In other words, in the Old West, if you're going to be a gunfighter, you need $50 guns and a $5 hat, not a $50 hat and $5 guns. If it is something we wouldn't wear to church, we shouldn't wear it out anywhere. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, Connie, yeah. A lot of times we think about modesty and shamefacedness being location. Man, I would never go to Walmart wearing my underwear, but yet I'll go to the beach wearing a bikini. Think about that. Anyway, let's go over here to 1 Peter chapter 3. How important is it to be adorned with good works? Let's read this. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, now this is it, whose adorning, let it not be an outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Don't focus on the outside. Make sure you're modest, shamefaced, and sober-minded, and your outside will take care of itself. It'll be just as beautiful as anything. You will find that you are so much more attractive to a godly man. Let me tell you something. A lot of these women out here wondering where all the good men are, it's because you're trying to find a good man in a whorehouse. You're dressing up like a whore, and you're going to a whorehouse trying to find a good man. You're trying to find your Julia Roberts pretty woman story. That ain't the way it is. Men will buy from you what you sell. If you want men to objectify you and treat you like an object, and once you're used up for their pleasure, discard you, if that's what you want them to buy, then that's the way you dress. Focus on the outside. But if you're more focused on the inside and you dress modestly and shamefacedness, with shamefacedness and sobriety, and you are selling your inner person, I am a person of worth, I am showing you my value, then you are going to attract high value men who value you for what's on the inside and who think you are so very beautiful and won't be able to get enough of you and will marry you and will support you and provide for you and will be a father to your children, will be a lover and a helper, and they will respect you. It's pretty important, folks. All right. I got off on a little rant. So, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. All right, folks, if you want a spouse that respects you, don't be acting like a sex object. Be a godly person. And again, this is set up towards women. Both of these scriptures are geared towards women. So I'll address the women. If you want a good man that doesn't treat you like a sex object, but treats you with respect and is going to commit to you, then you don't focus on the outside. You don't focus on the painted face and the nails, making sure you're all tan, going to the hairdo shop, all that good stuff. Focus on your inner self. Learn how to be meek and submissive. Learn how to be powerful. Learn how to help a man. Figure out what men want. Let me tell you something. I'll give you some free relationship advice. Quit going to women and asking them what they think men want. Women today have bought into the lie that men value women with careers and money. Men do not value women with careers and money. Men, nor do they value women who are beautiful physically. Oh, that's a perk. Men value women that are sweet, that smile, that make them feel good, that make them feel valuable. And don't underestimate the importance of it. There's a joke, and it doesn't matter the names. We'll use Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Both of them being from Arkansas, they went back to Hot Springs where they went to school, and there was a garbage man there was a garbage man on the back of a garbage truck, and Bill Clinton said, "Hey, ain't that Bob that you used to date?" And Hillary Clinton said, "Yeah, that's Bob that I used to date him." And she said, and Bill said, "Well, just think, if you'd have married him, you'd have been the wife of a garbage man, not the wife of a president." And to which Hillary Clinton replied, "No, you misunderstand. If I'd have married Bob instead of you, I'd have still been the wife of a president." You see, never underestimate the power that you have in a man's life. So that's just some free advice. If you want to know what men want, if you want to have a healthy, happy relationship, quit going to women for advice. Listen to the men. The women of this world are going to steer you wrong. They're going to say, "Well, you need to take time for yourself." You're going to hear the words of Oprah repeated saying, "Well, you don't need to be defined by your husband and your kids." Folks, whenever you're married, it's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You no longer have an identity separate and apart from your nuclear family. It's just all there is to it. And I probably need to get off that soapbox. So, I don't know. I guess these are just some of my thoughts tonight. We need to really drive this home. That's it. The feminist movement of the 70s did a world of harm. It really did, Katie. You're exactly right. And the solution, we got to have people that are not afraid to speak up like this. Because like I said, over the years, we've been doing this since 2015. And over the years, we've covered this topic, and it never fails, all the vitriol and backlash and everything. We've been called perverts and misogynists and everything else. And I'm like, it's just what the Bible says. I can't help it. All right. Well, folks, I think that's all I've got here. I'm so thankful for all the good comments. And Jonathan, man, you really had a good question there, and I was proud to discuss it. So this has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. I hope that you think about becoming a patron or sending me a donation through PayPal or something. After this is archived, you'll be able to see how to do that. I'll add it to the show notes. We're on the East Coast in New Brunswick, Canada, in a mission field. We don't get support from the congregation here. We are dependent upon y'all and congregations from the South. We have picked up one congregation that their support's going to start January, but we are very much lacking in our support. It is very expensive to live up here. I'm trying to raise about $6,000 a month in U.S. currency, and that helps with our living expenses, plus it helps us in the ministry. So that's not just living expenses. That helps us in the ministry. So if you could help us with that at all, be sure and look at the show notes, and you'll have a way to do that. Go to maritimemission.org if you want to know a little bit about the work and what we do. There's some pictures there. Other than that, just the next time you consider donating to a mission fund or a missionary, please consider the Maritime Mission. Thank you so much. Folks, stay modest and shamefaced and with sobriety, and you'll be okay. Don't walk around naked. That's all I've got. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, and thanks to everybody in the comment section, and we'll catch you on the flip side.